Welcome to Harvest Valley Worship Center's Sermon of the Week. You can discover more about our church, pastors, and special guests at hvwc.com. We hope that you are blessed by today's message.
We've got theme of the year, rooted identity. Let me tell you a little bit about how this came about. Every year we get alone as a leadership team, and we get an Airbnb or VRBO or whatever, and we get away for a couple of days. We just seek the Lord. We spend time together. We actually make sure our relationships are really healthy, right, in that time. And then as we kind of uncover things, we take care of our relational health, because that's primary in leading the body. Like, lots of churches fail because the leaders don't have good relationship. It's true. So we make sure that we've got good relationship. And then out of that, we just seek the Lord. What are you saying for this next year? What are you saying about 2024? And I'm going to lay out kind of the path of where we're going in 2024. Happy New Year, everybody. I'm going to lay out kind of what we're going after, what we believe the Lord wants to do in the next season. And we've already heard prophetically, Robert's speaking out. God, this is where we're going. This is what we're doing. Mika, calling it out as well during our pre-service prayer time. We're just hearing what the Lord is saying to the church. And we just want to say, yes, Lord. Lord, wherever you want to take us, that is where we are going to go. That was a great place to say amen. 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 Let me just tell you that as we sought the Lord, different topics began to spring up. And it was literally this giant hodgepodge of ideas. And they're all from the Lord. And then a theme developed. And as the theme developed, we realized that all of this has to do with the body of Christ becoming rooted in their identity. But it's bigger than just you. So we're going to talk about that today. You know, trees are amazing things. Trees they're what gives us oxygen, right? They eat, their food is CO2, and then they produce oxygen. It's pretty cool. It's a filtration system that God gave the whole earth to make sure that we could breathe, that we could have life, that we could breathe. And one of the things that's interesting is trees are one of the most important created items that God has given us in all of creation. Without trees, we wouldn't be living. One of the things that's interesting throughout Scripture is that God uses trees as analogies, as symbols. He uses trees as pictures. All the way from Genesis to Revelation, we see trees. And trees, not just any trees, but trees that play a huge part in the narrative, in the story of humanity. Trees. In Genesis, we see the picture of the trees in the garden. In Revelation, we see a giant tree in the middle of the New Jerusalem. Like, it's from the beginning to the end, we see trees. And in Genesis, I'm going to try it again. Here we go. Hey! All right. I shouldn't be that excited about technology, but if y'all know me in PowerPoints, woo! Let's look at trees from Genesis. We see God begin with two trees, and this is Genesis 2, 8, and 9. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow. Say, every tree grow. So at creation, God began with a process of growth. He said that the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil. See, God used trees and the fruit of the tree to provide the greatest opportunity for blessing. The tree of life, one of the greatest opportunities of blessing they could ever have. Eternal life. Right? Yes. Eternal life is the blessing we receive in Christ. So he had that plan at the garden. Then we also see that it's the greatest opportunity for sin with the knowledge of good and evil. So God, from the very beginning, said the trees play an important role in the whole narrative of humanity. Without the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we wouldn't have the brokenness of disease and sin, and we wouldn't have all of the issues of pain and suffering and the things that we deal with. That all happened at the fall. In the end of the book, in Revelation 22, 1 and 2, it says, "Then he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street." There's a river in the middle of the street. Come on. I don't even know what this is supposed to look like, but it sounds cool. Okay? In the middle of the street. And then he says, on each side of the river was the tree of life. How, what? Say what? On both sides, in the street, over the river. How does this work? I don't know. Is it like the giant redwood in Northern California that you drive through?
Maybe.
You know, maybe it's so big that the roots just span the whole river, but it's on both sides. You can use your imagination. The Bible doesn't tell us more. So good luck, right? So on each side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. So what God wants to do, even at the end of the story, is heal. Even at the end of the story, the fruit from the tree of life. And we can get into all of the potential analogy and symbolism of the tree of life. That's not for today. I imagine we will get there this year. It's going to be a lot of fun. But one of the realities is that when God plants something, he wants fruit to grow for the sake of healing. From the beginning to the end. We also see that trees symbolize and are used as an analogy for the life of the righteous. Psalm 1:1-3 says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." I'm a sidebar real quick. I'm just going to do a mini rabbit trail. While you're fasting, delight in the law of the Lord and meditate in it day and night. Begin to set a precedent in your heart of a priority of the word of God on your life. That's the whole purpose of the fast, is to grow closer to God. So allow this time to be a Psalm 1 moment. Allow yourself to go deeper in Christ. Allow yourself to experience more of what God has for you. Because listen to what it says. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. There's a key to prosperity. How many of you know that prosperity can be a tricky word nowadays because it's been twisted up and abused for the sake of selfish gain? But see, God's prosperity isn't always our prosperity. See, what is the most prosperous thing that you could ever have in the place where you're going to? The place where it's only when I stand over here, I notice. So. The place where you grow the bread. Rachel, you're going to get the best sermon of your life. I'm telling you right here. It's going to be amazing. So there is this reality that where there is someone who is meditating day and night, where they are going hard after God, that is the place where you will prosper the most. There is no safer place than in his presence. There is no place for more abundance than where he is. Amen? Amen. And it might translate financially for you. It might translate in time for you. It might translate in a depth of restoration and reconciliation in relationships that you've been crying out to God for. We don't get to dictate the blessing. We don't. If it's from the Lord, I don't get to say, well, because God, I did this, you have to do that. That ain't God. We can lean on his word and say, this is what your word has said, Lord. And I'm asking, right? You can make your request be known to God, but we cannot command a blessing from God for ourselves. What we do is we grow close to him and he prospers us. That's it. That's it. So just know that real abundance is found in his presence and his presence alone. Every other measure you can come up with for abundance will always fail compared to the glory of his presence. Amen? Okay. I think that it's important to know that to be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that bring forth its fruit in its season, and to have your leaf not wither, and to have whatever you do prosper, understand that there is a delight in the law of the Lord. I think this might be one of the biggest heart shifts the body of Christ is wrestling with, because we're used to, guys like Dallas Willard. It was phenomenal. I love Dallas Willard. And there's some great guys who've written long and hard about spiritual disciplines. And so what we do is we know we have to get in the word. We know we have to pray. We know that I'm not going to grow if I'm not encountering God, but we turn it into a religious form where we are now doing what we know we're supposed to do, and yet we are not encountering the living God. Instead of seeking his word with delight, with joy, I get to hear from the living God. We're like, okay, I got to do my duty. The reality is that God is shifting the hearts of the body of Christ to dive deeper into his presence and to encounter him in his goodness through the word of God more than ever. Because what happens? What happens when you encounter the living God through the word of God is that when your soul is lit on fire, you don't turn to the right. You don't turn to the left. You don't fall. You don't stumble because your delight is in the law of the Lord. Your leaf isn't withering. So Lord, will you give us delight in your law? Give us delight in your word. May we find joy as we open up the pages of your scriptures so that we might become those who are set on fire for you, that we might be those who hear your voice clearly through the illumination of the Holy Spirit as we read your word. May it be so, Lord. Amen. So here's another cool thing about trees is that Jesus was prophesied to be a branch of a tree. Isn't this cool? Let's look at this here in Jesus in the tree, right? In Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, we see the messianic branch of God to humanity. So I'm going to read this for you. It says, "And there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse." This righteous branch would raise out of the lineage of Jesse. And who's Jesse's son? Anybody know who Jesse's son was? King David. That out of King David's line would come a Messiah. Listen to this. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Would rest on this branch that would spring up out of the lineage of Jesse, the stump of Jesse. There is a messianic prophecy that puts Jesus directly as a tree. That's pretty cool. Listen to this. Our Savior was crucified on a tree. Now, we know that, and many of us might even understand the roots of the Christmas tree, and they set it up as a sign of the cross. That's what it meant when it was first started, regardless of what YouTube channel you watch. Just saying. History's pretty clear. One of the things that I think is important to note about this is that our Savior was crucified upon a tree in order to give us the tree of life, in order for us to experience eternal life. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says this: He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness. By his stripes, we are healed. We're healed. We are healed. Why? Because he took all of the punishment for our sin and hung on a tree. And Galatians 3:13 said that our Redeemer was cursed because he hung on a tree. Let me read this to you. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The tree is a redemptive symbol of eternal life and healing for us all. It's a powerful symbol. I've been marinating and praying over this message, and Meek and I had this amazing opportunity to spend some time with our families in Oregon. And when we went to my son Spencer Bassett, his church, counterculture.church, if you want to check it out, if you want to support him, great. Counterculture, and they've got a beautiful spot in the Pearl District, downtown Portland. It's just like, oh, gorgeous, gorgeous place. Got to meet his pastor, Jesse Lusco, and some of you might have heard of Levi Lusco in Kalispell. There's a huge movement over there. His brother Jesse is planting in downtown Portland, and so we got to meet Jesse and get to meet the whole team and just bless Spencer. He's the director of operations at this church plant. Isn't it fun when your kids fulfill their destiny? There's nothing better. I was just like, woo, love it. Here's the thing. Jesse starts preaching. And I look at Mika. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Quotes his first verse. You got to be kidding me. Quotes his second verse. You got to be kidding. He was preaching every single verse that you're hearing today was in Jesse Lusco's message in Portland, and we had never even met. You think the Lord's up to something? Isn't that cool? Right? The Spirit of God is speaking to the leaders in the body of Christ saying, this is important. This is important for us today. What great confirmation that, oh my goodness, we done heard the Lord. Right? You know, hey. I think that this year, we're going to be looking at much of the symbolism, looking at the reality of God's word and what God is saying to us, for us, and about us as we discover what it means to be that righteous person spoken of in Psalm 1 that says he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. I believe that is where God is taking the body of Christ in this season. And so in that process, as we look at the tree, we recognize that there are so many different analogies, so many different aspects of this that I think it will take us a whole year to unpack. And we will rabbit trail at times. In that, we'll do some definitely deep dives and some exegetical studies. We're going to definitely do some doctrinal studies right here from the pulpit for everybody. We're developing an amazing preaching team right now. Would you guys agree? We've got great preachers here. It's pretty awesome. So as a team, we're going to be walking through these different topics and listening to the Lord. And we're going to be bringing the bread that we believe that you need to eat, you know, from the Word of God. With that, we're going to seek the scriptures about what God is speaking to the region and to Harvest Valley this year. And for some greater context, I want to unpack it a little bit further, some greater context of where we're going, let me provide for you some areas that we'll be diving into this year. The first year, obviously, the 2024 focus, rooted identity. But the first thing is not showing. Tapped into God. Tapped into God. Tapped into God. Trees have a taproot. So when a tree grows, the roots spread out, but there's one that's just diving deep for water. Just going deep for water. And that thing can break rock. It can go through anything in order to get to water. And I am telling you that as believers, we have to be connected to the source. We have to go deeper to drink deep of the living waters of the Holy Spirit. So we need to be tapped into God. We must allow God to be the complete source for our lives. I'm sorry, guys. We need to be connected. We need to have connected growth. For you note takers, connected growth. God is calling us to deepen relationships, to be Christians of depth and substance with each other. Allowing there to be a little vulnerability and a little transparency about who you really are. When we have connected growth, we're willing to take off the mask and say, I'm going to take a risk and tell you about me, something that I don't even like about me, and give an opportunity for someone in your life to love you and minister to you in an area that you have left quiet, bound, held tightly, and it's been crippling you. So when we enter into a place of vulnerability and transparency, we can actually begin to grow together. We can be connected to one another and begin to grow. So we need to have connected growth. There's a beautiful picture of the aspen groves, and some tree systems are interconnected. They actually get life from each other. We need to be interconnected. We need to have connected growth. It's amazing how radical it is when you find out that there's, well, how many youth groups? Is it a dozen? About a dozen youth groups willing to be connected together to go after revival. That's connected growth. When we have pastors that are willing to come together and say, I'm going to grow with you. I'm going to walk alongside you in your growth. Instead of, sorry, I'm doing my own thing. Get out of my way. It is a powerful thing when God begins to move in unity in the body of Christ. And let me tell you, you don't need everybody. You just need some unity. He didn't say everybody's over all the time, always got to be on the same page. He didn't say that. But what can we agree on? One of the things I have the privilege of helping Will with some of this stuff with Riot, and I get to double check all the teaching to make sure that we're not getting off in the weeds on distinctive doctrines. Because there's certain things that do bring disunity. I'm unapologetically charismatic and Pentecostal. I speak in tongues. I believe in healing. I think everybody should prophesy. I'm like, that's me. But I don't need to push that or put that on anybody. Because listen, do you love Jesus? Is he the core of who you worship? Is he Lord of your life? Then we got everything to agree on. Amen? Amen. So we can find the place for unity and go after that. Can we lay down some of the distinctives so we stay on the essentials? Amen? So the other aspect of connected growth that is critical is, how do you love one another? How do you show it? What do you do? Love is often just time with each other. My wife is a quality time gal. She needs it. She needs it. And the Lord has had to strike me down many a time in order for me to go, yes, honey, I'll take that walk with you. Why? Because her needs are my priority. She needs quality time. I'm going to give her quality time. Even if I'm like, no, I don't want to go. It's rainy, snow. It's slippery out there. Okay, I'll put the yak tracks on. I'll put the snow pants on. Let's go for a hoof. Listen, how we love each other matters. And as we love one another, the world begins to see that we are his disciples. So we must have connected growth. Amen? All right. I love it. The third one is, see, it looked great on the screen before I put it up, just saying, okay? This third one is called branching out. Branching out. Branching out. Branching out. The branches of a tree create cover for those who need rest. There's been many a time where you just need a little bit of shade, like Jonah. So you try and find shade and God withers the tree. No, I'm just messing. But there's this reality that when you have a large tree, it does create cover, it creates shade, it creates a spot of cool where refreshing happens when you have branches that spread out. This is also where the fruit is produced. The fruit isn't produced in the root. The fruit's produced on the branch. It's hard to produce fruit if you don't branch out. So, this is where the fruit's produced. We also know that this is where the seeds come from. See, the seed is important all throughout Scripture. See, the seeds get sown. They're planted, and they produce of its kind more trees. It is our job to sow the seed of the Word of God into hearts and minds of the people around us. That's what branching out is about. It's about reaching the lost, giving some cover so that when people need to heal, they can do it in the cool of the day instead of the blistering sun. See, we are a refuge for healing at Harvest Valley. We're a center for equipping. We're a launch pad for a transformation. That's who we are, right? That's who we are. You can't drag that out of our heart. To heal, equip, and transform, that is who we are. If we don't allow our branches out, if we're not calling people into the kingdom of God, if we're not willing to say, I'm willing to sacrifice my I like my small church feel. Unless we're willing to grow, if we're not growing, it's because seeds aren't sowing. We have to have a mindset and a heart for the lost. And guess what? They need to come under the branch. They need to find cover. They need to find healing. So we ought to be branching out. Will said it really well. This is a year. We're going out. We're going out. Come on. Amen. Amen. Very cool. We want to create cover, gather those in need, produce God fruit, sow seeds. Okay? It's going to be a fun year. There's one more. See from the crown. See from the crown. See from the crown. The crown of a tree is the top of the tree. It is the place with the best perspective from the top. God wants us to see things from his perspective. So we must begin to see from his crown. See from the crown. Without a God perspective, we'll only see the ground. We're not going to see the territory. There's a mountain in Australia by Melbourne called Disappointment Mountain. Disappointment Mountain. These explorers were hiking up to the top of this thing because they were pretty sure from the top of this mountain they could see the bay. And they got to the top and the trees were so tall they couldn't see it. So they called it Disappointment Mountain. because we were hoping to see the bay, but we didn't get there. You know, I love that. I just think it's funny. But you know what would? Climb the tree. If they saw from the top of the tree, they could see. See, God wants us to climb and grow and begin to see things from his perspective. When you get a God perspective, you know where you're going. How much of the body of Christ right now is spinning in a circle going, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Can we begin to step up and go, okay, Lord, will you help me see from the crown? As that tree planted by waters that prospers, my leaves don't wither. That means that I am growing taller and taller and taller. That means, God, help me see from your perspective as a tree that you've planted. I believe that God wants us to see things from his perspective. We're not going to see what God's doing in each other or in the community until we can get his eyes on people, until we can get his perspective on ourselves. This is the focus of the year. This is what we're going after. Dennis already has a perfect word for us next week on this. I believe with all of my heart that the uprooting and the transplanting for many people is going to come to an end this year. What do I mean by that? I mean that there are, when God sends people to a place, and I mean, this is like going into missions. I'm not just talking about like church hopping stuff, like whatever. See, one of the reasons why there's stunted growth is because we don't stay in a place long enough to let roots grow deep to where we can actually have healthy roots. And when we have healthy roots, what happens is that God perfectly plucks us, wraps up the roots, and then replants us in a place so that our whole system can thrive with the right soil, with the right water, with all the right things. When we talk about having a rooted identity, I'm talking about this transplanting of, I'm putting my faith in my money. I'm putting my faith into my friends. I'm putting my faith into my church. I'm putting my faith into my... No, we have faith in God. You will have rooted identity and be able to go wherever God calls you to go with perfect roots intact. If you have faith in God, if we have our identity fully rooted in him, then very much, as Will said, this Abraham, wherever you go, you'll prosper. Wherever your feet tread, you'll prosper. But your identity is rooted in what God has said about you. It is rooted in his word. You're allowing your entire life to be shaped and moved because him, not your circumstances. Not your feelings. So we won't be tossed and turned and snapped in half in the storm anymore. We'll have deep roots in him. So when God tells us to go, when he tells us to move, we're ready. Because we can trust that wherever he plants us, the roots are going to go deep. I'll get everything that I need. I'll have connected growth. I'll be able to branch out. I'll see from the crown. God is longing for us to be deeply rooted in him. Let me just say this. The gospel's good news. The gospel is good news. For some of you today, the Lord has been planting a seed in you about his goodness, about how much he loves you. And you've questioned, is that real? Is it true? I'm here to say, yes, it is. It is true. It is true. God has planted a seed in you, and he's even all day through the worship, all day, even in the speaking, he's been watering that seed. In fact, I think the shell of the seed has cracked, and the sprout is coming forth in you. And I think for each of us, that might even be just about the next season that God's calling us into. It's sprouting forth. Will you allow God to tend your seed? Will you allow God to take the seed that He has put in it, that He's put in you? Whether it's to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, or whether or not it's to trust God to take risk in relationship again. Who knows what it is? I can't speak for you. God will need to speak to your heart about what that is. But I am telling you, when the seed is sprouting, the root is digging. When the seed is sprouting, the root is digging. I know many of you here, members here, and people who are well connected here. Let me just say this. You're in good soil. And I don't say that just because I'm leading this thing. I say it because every single minister that comes into this house goes, oh my goodness, this is good soil. It's good soil. For some of us, we've been scared to put roots down. I'm just going to encourage you to seek the Lord about that, because it's time to put roots down. Get rooted in good soil. One other thing that I think is important is for those of you that have felt like God is calling you and He's been drawing you to a new ministry, a new place of putting roots down, where He's called you into the season of radical growth, where you know He's going to stretch you and put you in positions where you are forced to grow. Do you know what causes roots to go deeper? Little turbulence. Little windstorm makes those roots go, okay, we got to grab on. And they start growing. You might have been experiencing turbulence. You may have been in an uncomfortable season, but God is saying, will you trust me so that your roots can go deep? Trust me so that you can get the health that you need. Trust me so that you can be vibrant and produce the fruit that I've established for you to produce in the next season. I ask everybody to stand as we close out our time together and we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that you're speaking. I pray that for every one of us that, excuse me. I thank you for every one of us that senses those seeds sprouting, and that, God, you're calling us into something new. You're calling us into something amazing. You're calling us into some arena that might even create discomfort in me. God, I am choosing to listen to your voice and to trust you. So I just want you to consider the seed that God is sprouting in you today and just say, Lord, I give you my seed. I give you this seedling. I give it to you and I trust it to you. And wherever it is that you say plant that seed, God, I believe where you want to put me, where you want me to be rooted, God, whether it's in pursuing a new passion, maybe it's getting involved on the worship team, maybe it's doing something that's been in your heart, maybe there's something that God has been stirring in you, God is going to take this year and root some things in you so that you will thrive in that thing. But there is a yes that we must have. So God, will you begin to speak to each person today to begin to allow them to trust you in a new way so that that seedling will sprout and that they would be rooted in you, that they would know who they are, because this is birthed from you. This is brought forth from you. Just take a moment, consider the seedling. What is it? If you're unclear, just ask the Lord, God, what is it that you're trying to start in me? What is it that you're beginning in me? What is it, the seed that's coming forth? And you might have been holding onto that seed for a long time, so you already know what it is. If you already know what it is, praise the Lord and begin to give that to the Lord. If you're not clear, keep asking. He wants to reveal it to you. Okay, so let's just take a moment. How many of you would say this morning that you know exactly what it is that God is calling you into in the next season, that, and even if it takes risk or whatever, that you know? Just raise your hand real high. Act of faith. Just an act of faith. You just know God's speaking to your heart right now. See, yes. Thank you, Lord. So let me just tell each one that raised your hand, where, like, entrust that to the Lord, and when he speaks, move. Don't let it die. God will activate you and ask you to do probably just one thing. It may be a phone call. It may be just one simple thing that he asks you to do. Can I just encourage you, go do it. Have that one simple step. Maybe you need to make a phone call to reconcile a relationship. Maybe you need to reach out to a team leader. Maybe you need to reach out to an old pastor to reconcile an old relationship because there's still a wound there. I don't know what it is. I'm trying to think outside the box as the Spirit kind of gives me a little nudge. But let me just say, activate the thing that the Lord is asking you to do, because this is where your life is found. You don't prosper unless you're planted. So, Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name that you would just take all of these words that you've given this morning to each one's hearts. For those that still lack clarity and they're not sure, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to them now. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to speak to their hearts, that they wouldn't go, no, not that God, no, not that God, and then play the game like they don't know. God, I pray that you would just let them embrace what you're trying to do in them right now in Jesus' name. I command all resistance to go in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you that as we grow roots deep in you, as we tap into you, we're going to see growth this year like never before. And we're going to know who we are like never before. We're going to be able to stand strong as sons of God, full of the Holy Spirit and power. We thank you, Jesus, for what you are doing in us. Thank you, Father, for making a way for us to know you through Christ. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just reach every heart this morning. Take them deeper in you, deeper and deeper and deeper. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Harvest Valley Worship Center is called to be a refuge for healing and a launch pad for transformation. If this message impacted you today, please let us know in a comment, or you can email us at media@hvwc.com. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to connecting with you.